It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you. It's Tuesday, 28th of June. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. And a bumper show I've got coming up for you this evening. We're going to celebrate entrepreneurs in style today because we're going to be joined by Regina Bushell, CEO of Grovelands Childcare, as they celebrate 30 years in business. It's a milestone for any business in any sector, and particularly in the childcare sector. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about the operations of Grovelands and what Regina's plans for the group are as they move forward. Also, John Toohey founded the company Nightline. Him and a friend of his, basically with 10,000 euros that they had gotten from a redundancy package, they set up Nightline Couriers. They then established Parcel Motel. Now, that business was bought by UPS a number of years ago for reputedly over 30 million euros. John is back in action again with Oopod, and it is a fantastic service, in similar to Parcel Motel in some ways, but is looking at really reducing the wastage with clothes and returning items as well back to where you bought them online and stuff like that. Fascinating story. Developments happening apace there too. So really looking forward from around 7:30 to meeting John and learning more about his latest venture, Oopod. I'll also be joined later by Philip Kelly. He's an estate agent based in Tullamore. He just picked up a national award for his work, so we'll find out more about his day-to-day business, some trends that are happening in that sector at the minute, and also find out more about the award and what it is. I've got lots of stuff to cover on the show tonight too. Lots to come as well in terms of news items that's been happening around the area. Just this morning, actually, in the Technological University of the Shannon in the Athlone campus in the engineering building, the Minister for Trade Promotion, Digital and Company Regulation, Robert Troy, was there to do a keynote speech around the new funding that's been put in place by the department in order to allow companies to grow billion. The government has committed 85 million euros overall to help businesses, no matter what stage they're at or what sector they're in, to go digital. The 85 million funding has been allocated up to 2026. 10 million of that will be available in 2022. Now, this follows the digitalisation voucher scheme that's been offered by Enterprise Ireland. And today we heard from Sean Tobin of Enterprise Ireland that by the time it's closed out and the applications have closed, they believe that about 350 Irish SMEs will have availed of those digitalisation vouchers. So the future for companies looks digital. And we heard some fantastic insights today. Next week on the show, I hope to bring you even more about that and get you some of the key content from it. What else has been happening around the region? I'm going to go across to Mullingar actually for a minute. The IDA is set to apply for planning permission for a new advanced building solution. Now, you might have heard news about the plans for this that were released towards the tail end of last year. The building will be located in Mullingar, and it's a move that's been very much welcomed by Mullingar Chamber President John Gagan. And I spoke with John just a little before the show.
This is a huge step forward for Mullingar. We've never got one of these before. And it's a time-proven model whereby the government goes in through the IDA and they deliver a building of high quality. It's built, it's ready to go, and when the American companies come over here, or the international companies, the asset is ready. They can move in a week or two or three. And this has been a huge success in other towns all across the country. And we think it should be a huge success in Mullingar as well.
Mullingar was chosen as one of 19 destinations that were selected by the IDA nationally as well. So quite a big move. What happened behind the scenes, you know, or what kind of leverage was there to encourage the IDA to choose Mullingar as a location?
Absolutely. It's a project we've been working on in the Chamber for about 10 years now. And it started through Gary Moore and Tom Hyland back in the day when those guys in industry really got a vision for this in Mullingar and could see there was potential for it. And then the IDA delivered the IDA Ardmore Park in the town. And unfortunately, nothing else happened because the recession kicked in. So since 2011 or 12, with the Chamber and all local stakeholders, Peter Burke, Robert Troy, myself, Edward Tormey, local auctioneer, we've all been pushing this hard for a long time, along with the likes of Ken Whitelaw in the IDA. And we met with Martin Shanahan 3 years ago to see what was going on. And thank God, a year and a half ago, it got into the strategy. So we couldn't be happier now with this.
And the predictions there of it creating potentially up to 200 jobs and delivering over 12 million euros a year to the local economy. When is it likely to be open, you think? I know it's only at planning stage, but what's a realistic target for it being operational?
That's a good question. I mean, I think if they're lodging for planning in July, I'm hoping they'll have planning through by the end of the year. And if they tender it efficiently by the middle of 23, they should be on site constructing it. I think it's about a 12-month build, so I'm thinking middle of 24 it should be built. And I'm thinking that coming out of this situation we're in right now, that's the perfect timing for this in Mullingar. But there's a bigger story. When you do one of these buildings, it tends to have a cluster effect because the other companies in the same sector see it can be done and they tend to back the location. So you'll see four or five of these, hopefully, over the next 10 years.
That's John Gagan, their president of Mullingar Chamber. Just want to bring to your attention there one event that's taking place on the 7th of July at 7:30 a.m. Public Expenditure Minister will be down to address a business briefing meeting in the Sheraton Hotel. It's been organised by Athlone Chamber in conjunction with RBK. The Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, will address business leaders at a pre-budget business breakfast meeting. So the Sheraton Hotel Athlone on Thursday the 7th of July at 7:30 a.m. The event has been timed to coincide with the expected government publication of the summer economic statement. It now pre-registration is required. The best way you can do that is to email info@athlonechamber.ie or you can go president@athlonechamber.ie, but you need to pre-register for that event 7th of July at 7:30 a.m. Another event that's taking place in early July is the Kilbeggan Races. It is back after a couple of years. You know, they've got a number of meetings on the go already this year. It's fantastic to have people back at the races. Well, the next round is on Friday the 8th of July and a standout event will be the AXA Farm Insurance Midlands National, a race that is attracting the biggest names in Irish racing. Now stay tuned because after this I have two pairs of tickets that I'll be able to have that you might have a chance of winning if you stay tuned a little bit later in the show. I'll tell you how just after this interview. But Managing Director Paddy Dunican outlines why the race is drawing so much attention from so many of the big names in Irish racing.
We were delighted the race has been upgraded to a Grade B race this year, with the prize fund increasing from 75 to 100,000, which makes it one of the most valuable and prestigious races of the summer racing season. And the race so far has got 36 entries, with all of the top trainers and horses entered in it: Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, Henry de Bromid, John Ryan, Gavin Cromwell, Noel Mead, and Joseph O'Brien are just some of the trainers. We actually have two former Irish Grand National winners entered in the race. So it's a very competitive race, very good horses, and it's going to create very competitive and exciting racing on the evening. Also, Ritech from Mullingar are also sponsoring a feature race as well. So overall, as you know, the AXA Farm Insurance Business National is a social event here in the Midlands, and it's very much a place where people come to meet people and meet their friends and also make new friends. But also this year, we're the first this year to introduce Ireland's first sustainable style racing event, which Ballymeantha Sustainable, Ballymeantha Luxury Tanning and AXA Farm Insurance are sponsoring a sustainable style competition with a prize worth €5,000. So it's going to be a great evening on the 8th, first race kicking off at 5:20.
Fantastic. And again, it really alludes to the hard work that has been done. What's it been like post-pandemic? You know, it's been a tough 2 years for a lot of sectors as well, particularly for yourselves, a lot of racing behind closed doors. Yeah. It certainly sounds like fans are really getting out in their droves again.
It's been a tough 2 years racing behind closed doors, but then we're very fortunate that we were allowed to stay in business. But we started back here in April, and so far, our attendances at our meetings so far this year have been up slightly on pre-COVID. So that's very encouraging that people want to get back out. And we're also noticing quite a lot of new people coming racing. And I suppose the one great advantage about racing is that racing is an outdoor sport. It's in the open air. And we've a lot of outdoor facilities erected. So people can come and feel that they're in a safe environment, which is very important in the current climate.
It's just lovely to know that these events are back on. I just found over the last week, anyone who was talking seemed to be either going to a gig or back from a gig up in Dublin or some concert around, be it in the likes of Jolie's in Tullamore or in any of the fabulous venues around the Midlands. There seems to be lots of gigs back on again. And you know what? Let's hope it lasts and long may it goes. But if that's a gig, the Kilbeggan Races, that you'd like to get to, I have, thanks to Paddy Dunican, I got two pairs of tickets to give away this evening on the show. How can you go about winning them? Well, I'm going to keep it as easy as possible. Just text Kilbeggan Races to 083 3010 103, a text or WhatsApp. Just give me your name, where you're listening from. So Kilbeggan Races, your name, where you're listening from, 083 3010 103, text or WhatsApp. It's that simple. We'll pick two winners later on tonight and the team at the station will be in touch with you tomorrow. Best of luck with that one. Time for a short break now, and after that we're going to really start looking into that whole spirit of entrepreneurship, and particularly one fantastic Midlands business that really has been a crucial support to parents and indeed played a pivotal role when we, if we consider it, and you'll hear this coming out after the break too, a pivotal role in attracting companies to the region, because it's well and good attracting people and attracting jobs, but when it comes to actually minding children and looking after children when these people are working in our factories and our offices, somebody has to fill that need as well. You're going to find out all about that after this quick break. Still to come on Taking Care of Business, John Toohey. He originally was the founder of Nightline Couriers and then Parcel Motel, a business that he sold to UPS a number of years ago. He's back with a new venture called Oopod. Very interesting one. John is going to spill all the beans on that and tell you everything you need to know about it a little bit later. Plus, we'll check in with Philip Kelly, auctioneer here in Tullamore, who was just conferred with a national award recently. So loads to come, loads of fantastic entrepreneurs. But to start with, I'm going to go across to Athlone and delighted to be joined by Regina Bushell. Regina is the CEO of Grove Childcare, and they have just celebrated 30 years in business. Now, I think any business that reaches that milestone deserves to be recognised and acknowledged. Very good evening to you, Regina. What brought you into the childcare sector in the first place?
Well, it goes back a long time, actually. It goes back to about 1963, when my mother brought five chocolate-coloured desks home to our own home. She started in Nenera, to save the Irish language. And that gave me my first taste, I suppose, of working with children. As time moved on, during school holidays, when I was in secondary school, I used to help her out. And I got married in 1976, and I opened my own preschool, I think it was 2 years after that. So I was at home on my own with 10 children in my preschool, in my playgroup at that time. And I suppose we've moved house a couple of times, and we, sort of numbers grew, waiting lists grew. And as time went on, I studied the Montessori method. In actual fact, it was funny. A sad period in my life led me in a different way, in that our daughter, Kira, died from leukemia. And I took a year out after that, deciding what I would do. And I went down and I studied Montessori. And that led me in a different direction. And over time, you could see that, I suppose, the roles of women was changing. In actual fact, on the occasion of the party we were having with our staff, and by the way, my staff are wonderful. I wouldn't be where I am without the staff I've had over all those years. But they were tickled pink to think that women had to give up work in the 1970s when they got married. And the first loan that I got, the bank manager told me that it was a daft thing to be thinking that women needed to be going to work, and I'd be better off looking in a different place, you know, sort of doing something else different with my life. But eventually my husband went guarantor for me, and that's how I got my first loan. Wow. My first loan started me on the way to buy the first Grovelands, if you like. We were in Railway View first, in Retreat Park in Athlone for a number of years, and then I opened outside. My first one outside my home was in Grovelands on the Ballymahon Road in Athlone. So it grew from there, and I suppose, you know, it took a while for full day care to catch on, but it did grow. And then we went and the IDA were looking for quality childcare and education on their business parks, and we built in Athlone and in Tullamore, and that was my first thing to be able to take this plan I had in my head for so many years out of it. And we developed some beautiful buildings, gorgeous environments for children in Athlone and Tullamore. Then we moved to Mullingar, and then we moved out to the Roscommon side of Athlone with Corran Riada. So it is now it has come to having me on my own with 10 children, to me my management team, which I now have, and we have 135 staff employed overall. About 125 of them are educators working directly with the children, and over 800, I think about 800 children attending the services on a weekly basis, families, like, you know, that are there.
That's a substantial, I mean, that's a huge business when you put it like that. And even, as you mentioned, the likes of the locations in the IDEA Business Park, is probably people don't, often realise or acknowledge that, you know, how critical the service is, never mind from the point of view of the quality childcare that people absolutely need. But as we try to attract foreign direct investment and enterprise into towns, having those facilities is absolutely crucial. So I think we'd be really interested to hear about that as well, and that the service that you provide there. So to go from on your own and 10 children up to over 130 staff members, on an operational basis, day to day, what is it like with Grovelands? It must be a very intense and dynamic organisation.
It is. There is a huge amount of work to be done. And I have to say again that, you know, my daughter Deirdre is a director now, as is my husband Ronan and my son Keelan. It's very much a family run business, but we have a very good and strong management team. Our managers are with us for quite some time, and as our supervisors, and a lot of our staff are there. Some of them up to, you know, we have staff with us for up to 18 years, so we have built a lot of experience with, you know, over the years, and we like to you know, expand, if you like, from within and give. There's a lot of progression within Grovelands, and which is great that people can come in as educators, and if they have the skills and the know-how and they want to take on further training, they can actually, you know, work their way up into positions of responsibility. Not they all have responsibility. I mean, handing your child over to any member of our staff, you know, the responsibility they take on day after day to care for and educate those children is enormous. But there is also a huge amount of legislation that we have to cope with. So every day that brings us challenges to us. But I'd like to think that we do very well with that every day. We have a number of awards. I'm really love to sort of feel. Having other people coming in looking at what we do is really important to me. It always has been. You know, doing the Centre of Excellence, going back years ago at Early Childhood Ireland, and then getting other people to come in, like Canavan and Byrne, who are very involved, you know, the Maternity and Infant Awards, the Business Awards, all of those things are really, really important to us, because it's not just us saying we do what we do well. There are other people coming in and looking at different aspects of how we have developed and sort of saying, yes, you've done that very well. So that validation is really important to us as well. And I suppose along the way as well, I would have always felt I can't be perfect at everything myself. I can't be good at everything myself. And I have always engaged with mentors and supports where I felt it was necessary to do so. And that has stood to me as well. To develop my own skills in different areas, like, you know, employment law, IT, you know, sort of training and development of our staff, taking on different skill nets, training that was available. That was all very, very important as we grew.
You mentioned there the legal and almost the quality standards that you have to reach as well. Undoubtedly, they've got more onerous year on year. Does that present a challenge to the business, or is that just another kind of metric that you use to gauge your own success?
Obviously, anything new that's introduced is a challenge. It's a challenge to any company, to any business, but particularly in childcare, when you're dealing with people's children, it's really, really important to keep on top of all new legislation that comes in and new development and new ideas. It's very important to engage, say, for instance, with TUS Law. We all don't maybe like regulation and new things coming in, but when we engage and we see the reason behind maybe why things are being introduced, it's very important to go with it. And bringing my team on board, you know, sometimes that can be a challenge, to bring everybody on board with what our ethos is and what our vision is for the company going forward. That can be challenging. But we engage with the Department of Children and we engage with the Department of Education and Skills. And these are, like, Department of Education and Skills is a relatively new thing coming in, but it's very important. Like, if the government are giving us funding, then they need to be able to stand over the quality of care and early education that is available to the children, and that the parents are getting good service and the children are getting value for money. In that they are being cared for and educated to a standard. And, you know, we have the Sheilte, we have different frameworks. We have Sheilte and ASHTER, which we, our services work by. And that's really important that we have those frameworks there and we work to those. But it is all about training and education of our staff as well, and continuous professional development, in that we're keeping up with what's going on.
You mentioned there, of course, the support from the government as well. I mean, badly needed by a lot of working families right across the country, and something that has been, it's never too far from the news headlines, if I may say, as well. Even last week, there were protests outside Leinster House about the overall cost of childcare as well, and indeed maybe the level of support that's been got. Ireland is sometimes put out there as being one of the most expensive places in Europe to have child in care. Is there enough being done at government level, do you think, to support people, particularly now with rising inflation and cost of living?
There, I mean, obviously the cost of living is one of the reasons that you would have seen some providers protest outside Leinster House last week. They are bringing in new core funding. The government are working to bring in and make childcare more affordable for parents. At the same time, the cost of delivering care and early education is rising. So I know that the government have committed to making childcare more affordable. But to be fair, we're playing catch up, and other countries have been supporting the cost of childcare for a long number of years. Ireland have, you know, the government here have definitely embraced it, if you like, in a way, in that they're supporting it. But they have a number of years to go. There is a program, Nurturing Skills, that is going to take place now from 2022 to 2028. And over that time, there'll be continuous investment. This year it was to the provision of childcare. Next year it will be to reduce the cost in the budget, as we'll see coming up. They will be looking to try and put structures in place to reduce the cost of childcare to parents. So we'll be hoping that the government do what they say, that they're going to work in partnership with us as providers to provide more affordable childcare. But we do not want to reduce the quality of what we're delivering. In the overall picture, the quality has to be high. It costs money, and that has got to be taken on board as well. So, you know, we'll see what comes out of it over the next five. But there is definitely a commitment there by the government to support the cost of childcare to parents. We're hoping in them doing that they'll support the providers as well.
Given your locations across the Midlands, have you seen any change in trends with regard to childcare, particularly as we come into a kind of a post-pandemic world and people are maybe gradually migrating back to office and that? Have you seen a change in what your clients are looking for, or are you seeing actually maybe an increase in demand for your service?
Well, there's an increase in demand for services. There's no doubt about that. I think there are more parents looking to try and get back into the workplace. We know there are a lot of jobs out there. And can I say, by the way, we're recruiting at the moment right across our centres for early years educators. So people can feel free to send in their CVs to us. There is more people going. There's a lot of people also going back to training and going back to training full time, who are looking for care and early education as well. And I suppose people are looking for flexibility sometimes, and that can be difficult sometimes. And, you know, from the point of our view of us staffing our centres and meeting the demands of parents as well, can be challenging at times. And but in general, yes, there seems to be a trend of people going back into the office. But even if they're not in their office, I mean, we have listened to our parents telling us that they were trying to work at home with their children, and particularly if you have babies or toddlers. Babies, not too bad. Toddlers, very demanding. And when they get to 3 years of age, they found it absolutely
difficult. Don't bring me back. Don't bring me back there. That was torture for about 2 years there.
Were you there yourself?
been there, done that. And I won't say I wear the T-shirt, but don't. Enough said on that. Issue. But look, it's a fantastic achievement as well. And again, you know, by you as well, the passion is still there, obviously, for it, and you're building for the future there too. You had a bit of an event there last week just to really mark the occasion with all the staff.
We did, yes. We had all of our staff and some of our past staff, and in the Sheraton Hotel in Athlone for a night of celebration. It was really a great night. It was my my house was like a flower shop for a few days, and it was great to, you know, have people recognise the fact that we were there for 30 years. The staff had a great night. It was a great get-together. We had past staff with us as well. And it was, you know, a great night of celebration. And sometimes, you know, a lot of the time things happened during that time. Like I had two very serious illnesses over the last 10, 11 years, and the staff were wonderfully supportive, as were my family to me at that time. And it's great to see, you know, sort of parents coming back, but children who are now parents are sending their own children back to Grovelands. And that is just an amazing appreciation, if you like, and the fact that they remember their days and talk about it as being very happy days and rewarding days in their life, that's just great. But the staff are, you know, I think that the appreciation of our staff is one thing that we like to be able to do that. And for 2 years of COVID, we had no chance of getting out with all our staff, and sometimes we don't appreciate what our own achievements are. I think a lot of people in business who have a lot of responsibilities, sometimes you just move on to the next thing very, very quickly without looking back and appreciating where we've come from, where we're going to in the future. And I think that's one thing that we have to do. We have to reflect on, I suppose, the whole sector of care and early education, where is it going in the future, and indeed where Grovelands is going in the future is really, really important to me. And you're right, I loved every single day of my life with working with children. I sometimes say I've been married twice, to my husband and my family and to childcare. that's the way it was. I do love it, and I think that you know, I've been involved in government and working on committees at national level. I love that. I love the politics that goes with it. I love making decisions and working with people who are working in a positive way to make things better for the children of our country.
Absolutely. So, and making a huge difference to those children, those parents, and say helping out businesses there too on every level as well. And again, like, that passion, that love comes right out there as you speak this evening on it. So well done. Fantastic milestone, and well done on celebrating as well, and giving your staff as well that acknowledgement that they deserve, because it was a sector that it was tough, I'd say, over the 2 years trying to deal with all the various kind of intricacies and complications that COVID brought. So hats off and well done to everybody. So I think you've earned yourself another glass of wine there tonight, Regina.
Thank you.
Sit
very
back
much
and enjoy it. And thank you so much for joining me this evening. That's Regina Bushell there, the CEO and founder of Grovelands Childcare, now operating 6 locations across the Midlands, 30 years in business. Always deserves a round of applause. Well done to Regina and everybody involved there. Time now for a quick break. You can keep your text coming in, by the way. Just text Kilbegan Races to 083 3010 103 or send a WhatsApp message. Just give your name and where you're listening from, and you'll be given a chance to win a pair of tickets for Kilbegan Races on Friday next week. I have 2 pairs to give away. Keep your text coming in, 083 3010 103. After break, you're going to meet another fantastic Irish entrepreneur who has a wonderful story to tell about growing a business, again from very, very humble beginnings, but growing a very successful business, subsequently selling it, and now back in with another really interesting business. That's coming in just about 2 minutes. To follow up that fantastic story there that Regina Bushell told us about starting her childcare business in her own house with just 10 children, to evolve it into what she has today, fantastic stuff. And that level of entrepreneurship should always be appreciated, respected and celebrated. So continuing on that theme, I'd love to introduce the people of the Midlands to John Toohey. John originally founded Nightline and the Parcel Motel, a business that he grew to over 65 million euros turnover per annum before he sold it to UPC. Now, interestingly, John left school at an early age. He tried his hand at a few different things, but eventually got a job as a driver with a local courier firm. That then subsequently led him to set up the logistics and delivery company Nightline with his friend Dave Field in around 1992. Each of them invested 10,000 euros of redundancy money they'd received and ran the business out of a spare bedroom in John's house. So there's a very common team emerging overnight. But again, what emerged from that bedroom was absolutely amazing. John, a very good evening and welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Yeah, well, Ron, it's great to be on, and great interview with Regina. I was listening with great interest too.
Thank you. And I know people are eagerly waiting your story as well. So I suppose, look, I've given you a bit of an intro there in terms of taking 10,000 euros each that you had, investing it into Nightline. Just take us through the level of growth that you had, ending with the sale of Parcel Motel, please.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was actually, I'll correct you there. It was 10,000 old Irish pounds, and it was 10,000 between us. So it was actually, we started a business in 1992 with 10,000 pounds between us. And we, as you mentioned there, we started in the spare bedroom of my home with two little vans and a mobile phone between us, because mobile phones in the early 90s were very expensive. You could only afford one. And then we just built that business up through reinvestment of the profits and through bank debt. So we eventually got, we started the business on the 3rd of May 1992, and on the 3rd of May 2017, at around 11 o'clock at night, we signed the contract to sell the company to UPS, the multinational parcel delivery business. And it was 25 years to the day. And when the day we sold it, we had about 1,200 people, maybe 1,250 people working there. And we had 65 million in turnover, as you say, but a mountain of debt. Because of the fact that we started with 10 grand back in 92 and built up such a huge business, we didn't take in any fresh equity along the way, bar some money from friends and family and business associates in small amounts. So we had a great business, but it was hugely indebted because we had borrowed a lot of money to build it up along the way, you know. So it's got to come out somewhere.
I remember actually hearing you speak at an event in Athlone about 4 or 5 years ago, and the one message that you wanted to give to everybody in the room was around cash flow. You've got to know what you've got in your bank account and what's coming in. And that's something that you would, I'm sure, was, you know, you can understand now why that's such a huge focus for yourself if you were carrying that amount of debt. But that's a message you like to get out there to all business owners.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, cash is the oxygen of any business, and it doesn't really matter how great your service is or how good your food tastes or what fantastic product you have. Whether you live or die as a business depends on how much money is in your current account. And cash flow is paramount that you watch the cash flow and make sure that you have sufficient cash to, you know, pay your bills and that, all the rest of it. Because at the end of the day, you can go through periods of loss making, but it's that you can absorb if you have good cash flow management. So, you know, it's advisable, especially small businesses, if they're not. I mean, I'm not an accountant myself. I always relied on good accountants to do the cash flow forecasting and all that for me. So especially for a small business, if you're busy running around after everything and you're not an accountant and not a numbers person, which you don't have to be in business, best to have an accountant, you know, in the background, you know, that you go to see at least once a month and ask them to have a look at the cash and how you're doing and how things are going. Because it's at that time you want to go see the bank manager about a possible overdraft or whatever, not the day you run out of cash and you've no money to pay the wages or pay your suppliers or your tax bill or whatever the case may be.
The sale to UPS was a 30 million euro deal, as you mentioned, back in 2017. But the parcel motel service that you developed, was that a key part of that? And how did that come about, and how did you get that off the ground initially?
Yeah, I mean, the sale to UPS, for 30 million, and it was part of the group. So the group had, Nightland Group had five different business activities. We had the parcel delivery business, which everybody would recognise, the vans on the road. We had the delivery depot in Athlone, actually, quite a big operation there. And then we had other aspects of the business. We'd warehousing and logistics. We had freight forwarding business, and so on. So UPS wanted the whole package, and Parcel Motel was part of that. So Parcel Motel really came about as a way to deliver parcels to people who weren't at home. I mean, your previous speaker there, Regina, talked about people working from home and now having to go back to work and hybrid working and all this kind of stuff. So it's quite relevant now. Back in the, say, around 2010, when online shopping started to pick up in a big way, we noticed as a delivery company that we were trying to deliver parcels to people that weren't at home. So Parcel Motel was a brand that we came up with ourselves. An agency in Dublin developed the brand. It was so good, and a lot of people thought it was an international franchise that we took on because the brand was so strong and so good. It was actually an Irish agency that came up with that. So we launched it. I saw the parcel lockers themselves at a trade show in Copenhagen in 2010, and I thought they were a really great idea. I wanted to bring them to Ireland, but we had to develop a brand around it to sort of make it consumer friendly. So that was the origins of it. And then we then introduced this virtual address service in Northern Ireland, where you could order on UK websites, have it delivered to our delivery depot in Belfast, and then we brought the parcels down south of the border and put them into Parcel Motel lockers around country. And that was a very popular service. We had a parcel motel at Kilmartins in Athlone. I'm not too sure where it was, over Mullingar direction, but we had a good few of them around the Midlands and all over the country at the time. And about 10% of the population of Ireland had a Parson Motel account, 530,000 people when I left in 2017. So it was a phenomenal success. And it was really good. We got great support from customers all over the country.
But of course, in true sign of, you know, as we listen to you there and talk about that kind of entrepreneurial spirit and endeavour that you have, you haven't exactly retired having sold on the business. Far from it indeed. You've taken some of the money that you would have made from the sale of the business and you've set up a brand new business. Can you introduce the people, please, to Oopod?
So Oopod is another parcel locker network that we're rolling out at the moment in Ireland and Northern Ireland. So we're focused in Dublin at the moment. About the furthest away from Dublin we have one at the moment is in Navan, but we have plans to roll them out across the whole country. And basically what Oopod is an open parcel locker. It's an open parcel locker network, so anybody can use it. A private individual can use an Oopod as their delivery address if they want privacy or they're busy and they don't want couriers come to the house. They can register and use any Oopod location as their private delivery address. Then small businesses can use them to drop off orders, particularly locally. Small businesses might make artisan products or whatever. They can cut down on packaging costs and manage their own deliveries by dropping the orders directly off at an Oopod for their customers to collect. And then larger businesses can use them, like couriers, like all of the couriers on post can use them as drop off and pick up points for customers who find it more convenient to use a parcel locker than have to wait in at home for a delivery or a pickup.
And that whole kind of theme of sustainability seems to be kind of permeating through this as well. You've mentioned about people possibly reducing the amount of packaging they're using or maybe not requiring as much because it's almost, you know, you're giving it directly to the person, albeit it's going through the Oopod as well. You've actually developed a really interesting angle on this because many people mightn't be aware, but the amount of clothing that is distributed by courier companies across the country and is then subsequently collected again and brought back to maybe a centralised depot or to a warehouse, the amount of wastage in terms of energy, fuel, packaging that's taken place, people would be shocked, I'd say, if they knew the level of the wastage that's taking place.
Yeah, no, this is a huge issue now, and it's getting a lot of airtime now because, believe it or not, 30% on average of everything bought online gets returned. So, and then if the retailers themselves, online retailers themselves, created this kind of monster by making it so easy to return items that are purchased online. So many customers would be familiar, and particularly the UK, this is a huge phenomenon in the UK, maybe lesser so in Ireland, but most people would be familiar with buying particularly items of clothing online. They might buy different colours, different sizes, try them on at home, and then send the ones back that they don't want. And this is creating a huge amount of waste. I mean, there's, I think, trillions of items of fast fashion clothing, for example, produced every year. It's a billion, I mean, a multi-billion dollar business. But the waste that it creates in terms of waste products being returned that are subsequently not resold or reused by the retailers is quite phenomenal. And some retailers now are starting to get a handle on that. I mean, you might have noticed, you saw recently in the news that Zara, I think one of the big online fashion retailers, have announced that they're going to charge for returns.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah. And it's funny, it's something that actually a guy I know spoke to me about 2 years ago, and he kind of shocked me by the level of return journeys he was making. And he said his route was almost fixed every week. He said you were delivering clothes to certain houses and going back and picking them up again because your rights as an online customer, you can return stuff within 14 days. And as you said, up to now, it generally has been free. So it's quite interesting here that companies are making moves. But at Oopod, you're looking at innovative solutions to this problem as well.
Yeah, well, with parcel lockers and Oopod, we're just part of the parcel locker sort of movement, if you like, across Europe, because there's lots of parcel locker networks springing up around the world, Europe in particular. And it's that because if sometimes the retailers now are considering if it's a low-value item and the customer doesn't want to, wants to return it, a lot of the time the retailer leaves it with the customer, or it says, you keep that, because, you know, it's not worth our while taking it back. But at the end of the day, the customer still has something they don't want and have to dispose of it, right? So the next thing then is to say, so the next best thing is for the retailer to say to the customer, okay, listen, drop that to a local Oopod locker and we'll take care of it from there, and then the process to return to the process the refund to the customer. And then what can happen is something local can happen with that item. In other words, a local charity, the retailer can donate it to a local charity who can pick it up from the locker, or a local recycling company can move in and pick it up from the locker. Without that item, I have to travel all the way back to a hub that could be in England, you know, all the way back from the middle of Ireland, a low-value item, creating more carbon, more expense, more waste. So a lot of this, what UPOD and what parcel lockers generally can do is create infrastructure locally to enable the disposal, the more responsible disposal of unwanted items.
And I think that responsible disposal is a huge thing because, yes, a huge volume of clothes ends up in maybe sorting hubs and that. Unfortunately, a lot of it goes a lot further afield into particularly third world countries maybe where it's often dumped. I think if people sometimes knew the scale of what can happen, they would definitely sit up and try and take action. But what stage are you at with UPOD at this and what are your plans over the next couple of years?
Listen, just to finish your point there, I mean, I was starting to mark out with Responsible Us, Responsible.us, which is another startup in the lineup of dealing with trade and material. And he tells me that 80% of what we bring to charity shops, for example, ends up in a bale collected and could end up as far away as Ghana being dumped or in the Chilean desert, you know. So it is it's quite an area that people are examining, and particularly consumers want to take more responsibility about. But where we're at now is, we've rolled out 6 locations along the border with Northern Ireland because we find customers that are lamenting over the old cross-border service that we had with Parson Hotel. We've put some really convenient UPOD locations along the border on the Northern Irish side of the border so that people can shop online on UK sites and have the parcels delivered there. But they have to go in person over the border to pick up the items because of the new Brexit rules, and customs and so on. But when you go in person, it's just a cross-border shopping trip like any other. And we've started rolling out some locations in Dublin. I mentioned Navan, and we've got a number of locations in Dublin. And then we're eyeing up a cross-the-country rollout then over the next couple of years. And then we're also very busy in Northern Ireland and in the UK as well. We've got a pilot project launching in the Warrington area of the UK later this year. So we're really busy at the moment, and it's an area it's just an area of strong demand, shall we say. The more we talk to carriers, retailers, and even small businesses, we're seeing a great appetite for the service. So we've got lots of plates in at the moment. Just
absolutely,
need to get some
yeah. And it sounds like a movement that if people drive it, people vote with their feet as well, it should make a difference. And actually, you mentioned about Ghana and Chile. I think if you look up the BBC website, they have some really harrowing videos about where a lot of that clothing goes. And that in itself should make people look at a service such as UPOD. John, thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing all that about the businesses. Another word, retirement, doesn't come near you. And it's fantastic to hear about entrepreneurs who get up and they're back again and they're creating even new business as well. Congratulations to you and all the very best with that venture.
Thank you, Ron. I'm much obliged.
And if you want to find out more about that, it's UPOD. U is in the kind of like a ghost, almost OOH pod.com, and you can find out more about John's company there. Stay tuned. After a break, we're going to just check in with Philip Kelly. He's an estate agent based in Tullamore, and he just picked up a national award for his endeavours. Talk to you in about 2 minutes. Time to continue to celebrate great local businesses. D&G Kelly Duncan was set up in Tullamore in 2007 by Philip Kelly, and this week they were picked up a national award. They were named D&G Medium Branch of the Year. Philip joins me now. Philip, we're going to have to get you to put your best auctioneer's voice on here. Congratulations on the award. What do you think led your branch of D&G to be successful?
Ronan, thanks. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat to me. A lot of this comes down to the staff. Like, we have fantastic staff in the background here. A massive thanks to Fiona, Aisling and Pascal. A combined, they effectively run the place. I'm just told to go out and show houses, and you know, they look after everything for me in the background. And I suppose a lot of it came down to, like, it was judged externally from D&G, and it came down to our market share in the area at level of service, and we were also secret shopped then to see how we perform on a daily basis in the office. You know, we had been shortlisted back in December, and then we were at the National Awards last Friday, and we were awarded the prize. So delighted with it.
Absolutely, always nice to get that recognition as well. Just very briefly, the sector in general, I know is it quite healthy at the minute? Now there's a lot of focus again on house prices. It's predicted they've gone up by about 4% in the last month or two alone. How are you seeing supply around the Midlands area at present?
Yeah, still suffering from supply issues. Like, we have, I suppose the market trends, we see about 12.5% in the year up to June 2022. Year up to December 21 was 14%, so we're seeing a little bit of moderation in price growth, but it's still price growth. Like, we would rather see sustainable growth as opposed to 15 and 20% growth, something that's, you know, that everybody can manage. So yeah, like the big issue with supply, just not enough supply on the market, and then new homes coming to the market as well. There's a lot of help for first time buyers there as well with help to buy schemes and shared equity ownership schemes, which is about to be introduced in July. So yeah, a lot going on, and but definitely supply is the big issue there.
And as well as challenges too in the construction sector with rising material prices and the like. But yeah, anyway, for now, Philip, I suppose it's time, like I said to Regina earlier, maybe have an extra glass of wine tonight and put the feet up and celebrate the award. And apologies, I know time was short, but thank you so much for coming on. Well done in the award as well, and just keep up the great work.
Gentlemen, thanks, Ronan. Thanks for your time. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Philip Kelly there from DNG Kelly Duncan in Tullamore. So there's, I told you this evening at the start of the show, we're going to celebrate great businesses. And you've got three fantastic ones there. DNG Kelly Duncan, Grovelands Childcare with Regina Bushell earlier, and John Tuheeter speaking about OOPOD. The tickets for the Cabegan races will pick a winner here at the station tomorrow morning and get in touch with you if you've won. The tickets will be ready for you to collect at Cabegan on Friday the 8th of July. For now, thank you for listening. Thank you all tonight's guests for contributing as always. Stay tuned here in Midlands 103. Coming up after news at 8 p.m. is Joe Cooney with Country Roads. Stay safe, keep enjoying being in business. Talk to you all next Tuesday evening.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.